This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey folks, the return we have all been waiting for is finally here. UFC's most notorious icon is stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. Be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbooks, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, for a shot to turn $1 into $257.
That's right, Corey. New users can now bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. And if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. So you're betting a little, winning a lot. It's that simple.
While we are all excited for this weekend's premiere UFC bout, let's not forget football is in the midst of their playoffs. So head to the app to check out the great playoff promotions now.
DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your easiest convenience.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $257. If McGregor wins by first-round knockout, place your bet and watch the fist fly this weekend. That's code THPN for new players to get $257 if McGregor wins by a first-round knockout for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbooks.
What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode is going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys, all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. I'm once again joined by my wonderful co-host, Corey the Bayou Benders. How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. I like the other intro. It had a pizzazz to it, but what's up, dude? I'm fucking just excited to be here. We got 30 minutes before puck drop against Vancouver. So it's a good fucking night. And it's a real good night, bro. What's up with you?
Somebody passed out for a solid 4 hours after work. So we're recording a little late. But, yeah, here we are, fucking excited to play Vancouver. They've been absolutely dog shit to start the year. I think they're putting it plainly.
1-3.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I was high on them. A lot of people thought they were going to regress like this, and I was pretty adamant they were going to be good. So
I think I was the highest on this particular podcast. I was putting them first overall, and they still have a chance. But it's a wonky beginning. They can't afford too much more wonk. But
I'm hoping they shake it off to prove us right. But like not right now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, not the next three fucking games. They can get one win in the next three.
I want all three. Joel Edmondson has to assert his dominance over these Western Canadian teams.
Can't wait to speak about Joel Edmondson in a minute, but let's stay on the Canucks for a second before we get into this ignorance. I don't know. It's a little confusing. I really expected them to come out bit better than they have been. But I mean, I guess it's kind of like the opposite of what's going through us. I'm super like worried that by talking about it, I'm going to fucking, I don't know, I'm going to jinx us. But I mean, let's just right off the bat, we got 85% on the penalty kill right now to their 66. They're something for us that I do wanted to bring up. Our faceoffs have been lacking lately. We're not losing by much, but we are losing the faceoff quite often.
Well, and I think that's what happens when you have two very young centermen.
Understandable.
In your number two and three spot. I think every I don't know if there's many centermen that come into the league and win more than 45% of their faceoffs.
Okay.
It doesn't happen very often.
I just like if, and that's so crazy to think that like, that's like, I'm happy that that is the only takeaway that I really want our team to improve on. It's just a little bit better on faceoffs. And it's not like we're losing bad, you know, it's like a 48 to, you know, 52 type of situation. But I don't know. I just, Jake Allen got to play, you know, in the previous game. It's just one game, two games now where we were just robbed of two shutouts. But if I'm Jake Allen, there's so much confidence after that one game. And I think as a fan, even though it's just one game, that's a lot of confidence now. Like you feel like, hey, this is a legit goaltending tandem. And granted, it's only, you know, a little bit of time, 60 minutes worth of watching Allen, but I'm excited with it. I think I just don't know what the fuck's going on with the Canucks. With Braden Holtby and Demko, it's just I would expect them to do a little bit better. But shit, that's
yeah. If I had any takeaway, I would say penalties are definitely something we need to work on. you can't take seven penalties against the Edmonton Oilers and expect to have that result over and over and over again, and especially what, seven more times this season? It's not going to happen. It just won't. I think that at least two of the penalties that we received for cross-checking were the result of bitch boy Austin Matthews in Toronto whining about a few jabs to the back, and now we're seeing a fucking epidemic of cross-checking penalties around the league because Shea Weber's in 36 now, veteran NHL defender, possible Hall of Famer, who has earned the respect and, you know, privilege to basically throw around guys like that. His cross check was a penalty, but that's not a penalty that's ever called. I think it's just established, you know, you don't call that. Every NHL defender does it. We saw Romanov got dinged for one. Honestly, didn't think it was a penalty. Obviously, the younger guys get less leeway. It's a kind of a veteran play, but I genuinely just did not think it was a penalty. But yeah, so we can blame Matthews for that. It's not something I want to see continue for the rest of the season, that's for sure. I think it's a hockey play. It's part of the physicality of the game. He is the only star player I've ever heard bitch or moan about it, but because he plays in Toronto, I guess TSN and Sportsnet had to pick it up as a big fucking deal. And honestly, I think if I was a Leafs fan, I'd be utterly ashamed of those comments he made because that's just ridiculous. It's a part of fucking hockey.
Right. And just while we're on the subject, I'm glad I wrote that down to keep that be brought up. But so is that what you were referring to on your Twitter post? Because I thought it was in reference to the pileup that happened in front of the net.
No, it was in reference. Which one are you talking about?
One of your tweets during the Oilers game, was like, this is something that Matthews has ruined the NHL with.
Yeah, no, that's what that was about. Okay. Matthews has ruined NHL hockey because a simple hockey play that has been in the game since its inception and has, you know, gotten better. Like, guys used to break sticks off guys' backs. Like, we don't see that anymore. It's just a little shove. Does it hurt? Yes. But holy fuck, I played fucking soccer and I've been hit harder in a fucking in the box for a corner kick, the way Matthews was getting shoved, like, fucking man up, bro. Yeah. It's a contact sport. And if you take that out, we become basketball. If I wanted to watch a non-contact sport, I'd watch James Harden flop around the floor for 60 minutes. But I don't.
Love it.
I'd rather watch hockey.
Hot take. Fuck basketball. No. No, I don't like basketball. Hockey's predominantly the only sport I watch nowadays. But you're right. This is a highly physical game, and it's becoming softer. But I'm glad your eye caught it, and I'm glad it was something that we could have brought up, and hopefully some fans agree with you. Most fans should, because it happens to us, and, you know, sometimes the call isn't our way. Hashtag Chris Lee moments, but, like, I don't know. This game is as soft as it should ever be. Like, there shouldn't be any more softness being added to it.
No, it's – I don't know. It bothers me. And I think because it's Matthews, it bothers me more. But it's not a play I think should be penalized. How often do we see players have cracked ribs or any form of injury from those checks in front of the net? Brendan Gallagher got his jaw broken and they said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what pisses me off, because it's not about protecting star players. It's about protecting the fucking captain underpants out there in Toronto, who just whines and bitches and gets what he wants. And it's fucking annoying and frustrating to me. I think this year, especially, TSN's been better, but holy fuck, have Sportsnet especially just catered to Toronto this year. Like, some of the stories they put out too, the articles, like, I don't give a fuck about what pillow Mitch Marner is using in his hotel room.
Is it a MyPillow?
This is not the fucking hockey content I want. It's ugh. And then we're watching the Habs game. I believe it was the last one versus the Oilers. We finished like 10 minutes before them. I have to watch the end of the fucking Leafs game. And then just because, you know, I want to hear what Pierre LeBrun and Brian Burke have to say. And then I got to sit there through 15 minutes of fucking Leafs talk. And then I get to the Habs shit. I'm like, finally. And we get 30 fucking seconds. And it's just the general, oh, Carey Price played well for them. Like, I'm tired of that narrative that, yeah, like, yes. Or sorry, it was the game before then. Yes, Carey Price played well. But is that all you took away from that game? We absolutely bitch slapped the Oilers that first game.
Mm-hmm.
And all they could talk about was, oh, Carey Price. Like, when is that narrative going to change? We have a really fucking good hockey team.
Well, I think if I'm being honest with you, they don't expect us to have a good team. Like, they're not ready for what we got. They didn't do, which is crazy, but like, I don't feel like they want to do the research and look into the depth of this new team. They expect that, just like in the past, oh, this team is being held by Carey Price. And I think now this is the exact season to show that it's no longer just a Carey Price show. We're not just holding on by the amazing talents of Carey Price. And this is something that we're going to just constantly see. They're just not going to know what else to say, because it's what they've been saying for years.
Well, and it's so fucking annoying too. Because you know what? As much as I love Carey Price, he's a future Hall of Famer. He's going to go down as one of the greatest goalies to ever live. He's not going to retire with much hardware, but I think he's going to get the respect he deserves when it comes to like remembering his legacy. The last 2 years, if you're going to tell me Montreal got carried by Carey Price, you're out of your fucking mind, because I'm sorry. He was not an elite goalie. He wasn't. He was a good starter, but there were months and weeks where he looked bad. Mm-hmm. And do I think Carey Price is an elite goalie still? Yes. And I think he's shown it so far this year, knock on wood, but he has been a pretty mediocre goalie the last few years. And this narrative that, oh, Montreal is all Carey Price, is tired, it's old, and it's lazy. Because if you can't look at that roster and go, damn, they have some players. You either don't know hockey or you haven't done your research. Mm-hmm. Because that is a lineup of at least, I'd say, 10 players deep who can really fucking play. And I'm being generous there because I don't want to sound biased. And I mean that on the look at our D, that's got to be one of the hardest D cores to play against in the league. And I don't even mean talent. I think we're up there. But look at that. Everyone in our top four is 6'3 or over.
Very nice.
Like, that's just absolutely absurd.
I love it. I mean, how do you, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's not much. All I can do is agree with you. You know, there's nothing that you left out. Fuck, dude, that was brilliant. That was like blue check mark Twitter worthy. Oh. You know, that's just something we had joked about before recording. One fun thing to bring up. So I just retweeted, but our Canucks THBN host, the Stick and Rink Boys, I retweeted it because I think it's pretty funny. Basically, one of the guys on there was saying that Hoglander is going to score 3 goals tonight, get his hat trick, and that's why the Canucks are going to blow out the Habs. I don't know what's to come. If we base it on the past couple games, they're due for one. But at the same time, I don't think that this train's slowing down. It might be a different game. It might be a slower game in general for us. You know, we had 2 games to learn the Oilers this season so far. But we got a 3-game run with Vancouver. And I don't think that this is going to happen with this brand new guy. Granted, this dude's it's pretty fucking good. He's one of the few people that has a goal for this team right now. It's one thing about the Canucks right now, as I'm looking at their roster, and a lot of their big players haven't produced yet. And granted, it's will be their 4th, 5th game, whatever. I mean, it still seems that Quinn Hughes is probably the best player on their team. Their defense is looking a lot better than their offense right now, as far as like, you know, on the offensive point slot. But I just think it's funny. I love that Stick and Rink is so high on their guys. This is a team that I want to win, but not in these next 3 games, you know. So
yeah,
I figured I'd throw it at you, see how you feel about Hoglander's hat trick tonight, according to the boys.
Nils Hoglander is going to be an elite talent in the NHL. Absolutely. I really believe that. He, in terms of skill, just raw skill, is up there on the Canucks roster. And when you look at that roster, you realize how much of a compliment that is. Scoring 3 goals tonight,
I think it's going to be tough.
I'm not going to say anything because I'm not going to jinx us 20 minutes before puck drop.
Absolutely.
But it's a bold take. For sure. We'll knock on wood for that one. But do I think he's going to be impactful this year? Absolutely. I think only as he gets more comfortable, he's only going to improve. Sorry, I worded that poorly. But yeah, I think when you look at the roster and how deep it is in Vancouver with just playmakers and elite offensive talent, I don't see how he doesn't perform. A guy that skilled, even if, you know, he's buried with shitty line mates, he's going to, every once in a while, his talent's just going to break through and he's going to do something spectacular. So I think Nils Hoglander is going to score a decent amount of goals this year, or put up some decent points. But like you said, hopefully it's not in these next 3 games. And we're hoping for our own Hattie from Alexander Romanov, the czar himself. So.
Oh, man, what a goal.
I'll put my rookie against theirs.
That's all I got to say is that it's got to be pretty hard. And I love what they said the other night against the Twin Towers, the Trident, this the czar. You know, our defensive core is amazing. Our 4th line is playing amazing defensively. Our fucking second line's playing amazing defensively. This entire team is like consisted of a complete, every player on this team is playing like complete hockey. Like they're all two-way forwards. And, you know, it's just awesome. Like to just have a team, like I saw a tweet at the end of last game and it was like, the Habs are playing complete hockey, like the entire team. And that is like a great summing up of how it's been. Like you got offensive, you know, offensively known guys just putting the body out, just playing as defensively as they can. Like this is such a good look for us. Like this is such a good fucking blessing, a good look for us. And I don't see us not having a complete game again tonight, especially a team that's still trying to find themselves with a team, us, who looks like they've already found a good run, a good way to run this team, you know?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm really happy with the hockey we've been playing. It's been fun to watch. It's been, for the most part, defensively responsible, except when Nick Suzuki tries spinorama passes at the blue line, 5 minutes left to ruin Jake Allen's shutout. But yeah. I'm not bitter about that.
You sound bitter.
How the fuck did Drouin get blamed for that?
Easy people, target. It's an easy target.
Oh, my God. People blaming Drouin. That is the equivalent of a fucking suicide pass.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what Suzuki did to him. Like, yeah, people say, oh, Drouin tried to toe drag. Well, what else was he going
to
fucking do?
Yeah, he was looking face on, what about to get smashed and about to have an easy.
He was getting his pocket picked if he didn't dance past him.
Yeah. It was a tough look. I think Nick Suzuki is going to do shit like that every now and then. You could tell. Yeah, he's young. But he's a flashy player. Like he's going to do stuff like that. And it sometimes it's going to be good for us. Sometimes it's not. I'm not entirely upset. We did get the win. I did want to see Jake Allen get his shutout. But you know, at a game late like that, it's uncalled for, but like I'd rather him do it with 5 minutes left, 3-1, you know, 3-0. I know there's never a great time to do it, but
I don't like. I think that's just a stupid play in general from a very smart player, and I think in a way selfish because like you want to get your goalie the shutout. You know what I mean? He's worked for you. He's grinded. He killed 7 penalties for you. And you couldn't get him the shutout. It's just, it's a little frustrating. But my main beef with that whole play is people blaming Drouin because he's French. Like, Jonathan Drouin is a point per game for us right now. The last 2 games, he hasn't gotten many points. I don't think he's gotten any points, actually. But he's played fucking well. He hasn't made stupid drop passes from the blue line that we've seen him do in the past, like Suzuki there. And I thought just overall his hockey's been really good. That second line has been buzzing. So I don't understand where the Jonathan Drouin slander is coming from, but I don't think it's founded at all. And I'm really hoping that Drouin comes out and scores a goal or puts up some points tonight and kind of just says fuck you to everyone after that.
Right. Like I said a minute ago, it's just like I hate it. And I was team, you know, whipping boy Drouin, but he's really come around, and it's very early. It's 3 games, but he's been playing well. I haven't really seen anything for people to criticize him that much. For that blame to be put on him in that moment, that's really – it's misplaced, you know. But then at the same time, Twitter's so – you know, they're going to alienate you if you talk bad about Suzuki. If he made a bad play, he made a bad play. That was one, he could have severely injured Drouin if they decided to run through him, you know, in that situation. And then two, it just, like you said, what was he to do? You know, it was a bad look. It was a bad play. Let's just.
I don't know. I think that.
I'm happy you brought it up because I completely forgot about it, but it was a bonehead play. It's a very young play, you know.
Well, Drouin is still, I think, in terms of just pure skill, might be the most skilled player on our team. Like, when that guy turns it on, I don't know if there's many things he can't do on the ice.
Right.
And you know, was he worthy of a third overall selection? It doesn't look like it. It really doesn't. But I would not call him a bust. Like, the guy puts up 50 points a year. I think he's capable of 60. I think he's capable of 70. I don't think he'll ever get there. I think for Drouin, it's about he has a very high ceiling. And I think because of his speed, especially in his hand eye, he's going to be a player who has the potential to get 70, like, late until his career. I really do believe so. And I think put into a good situation, he could do it. I just think he's a guy that maybe, like, and I'm not saying he's dumb. I think he has decent hockey IQ, but I don't, like, Connor McDavid, they always say his mind matches his speed on the ice, and that's what makes him so lethal. I almost wonder if Drouin is so fast and so skilled that he just can't keep up with himself sometimes in a weird way. But I think we've seen him really put it together this year, and the potential to score a shit to like 50, I don't think is out of the realm of question, especially playing with Suzuki and Anderson, especially, I just think he opens up the ice for those guys. The way he plays is perfect. And he can also make the skilled plays to play with him. I think that line, gonna, if State can see them staying together for years, they're going to do some damage together. And as they get to know each other, I think we could see a very lethal offensive line form in like the next few years, if not this year.
Sick. Very fucking sick, dude. So we'll be wrapping up very soon, folks. Puck drop is literally 12 minutes away. But here's a fun thing I wanted to bring up. After, you know, the 3-1 win, Mason and his fucking mob went on and did a Joel Edmondson flash mob. And I want Mason to tell what the fuck happened, because all I did was get on a Twitter and see this madness. Just, I don't know. Just, I don't know what the fuck to call it, but it was angry.
If you're a part of Habs Twitter, you might know there's been a Joel Edmondson meme circulating. Basically, just his advanced analytics from last year were dog shit. So it's his Habs profile picture laid over this. And he's got like Thug Life glasses on and like dollar bills floating around him.
I love he's got the OG fuckboy meme hat on, that yeah, brown Gucci hat.
Just like the Thug Life shit. And it says, "You just lost to Joel Edmondson." And then there's like money flying everywhere. There's like a fire flame coming out. So we fucking, well, I didn't start this, but I was definitely very involved. The Edmonton Oilers posted the, I think the end results, and Habs Twitter flash mobbed them, just spamming this fucking picture of Joel Edmondson with Thug Life glasses and like cash floating around. And they took down the tweet. So we successfully made the Edmonton Oilers Twitter account, official Edmonton Oilers Twitter account, delete it. And they thought reposting it would be a good idea, and which only caught more traction. And this thing has fucking exploded.
What made me laugh was just the initial, what they put. And it was just like the final of the game. And then they just like, "Let's go Oilers." Like, you just got shit kicked 2 games in a row. You were the best power play guys last year. There's no way in hell we should have ever give up seven chances, but we did. And you guys were lackluster in it. I wouldn't have been surprised if the Oilers Twitter would have been quiet, you know, if they wouldn't have tweeted anything other than tough night, you know. But the fact that they just were like, "Let's go Oilers." And I was wondering why that was so, it kept being brought up in my fucking feed. And then I clicked the comments, and it's just overrun by fucking young Habs fans. Just being ignorant as fuck. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't. It was it was eventful. I'm sure we're going to see some more shit tonight.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope for that win. I think this is a good place to close out.
I just want to add one more thing.
Hit it. Okay? Hit it.
I was complaining about Austin Matthews bitching and complaining about cross-checking. And while we've been on this, I was glancing at Twitter, just making sure that tonight's lineup was matched the same, or announced the same, sorry. And I stumbled upon something I forgot about, and something I find fucking hilarious. So as we speak, moments ago, Toronto lost in a nail-biter to the Edmonton Oilers.
I thought it was a 3-1 win.
I thought they lost. That's the vibe I'm getting.
No, I mean, like, it wasn't close. Like,
oh, I thought they were pretty – anyway. Jason Spezza missed an open net, like completely wide open net, and basically lost the game for them. And if you don't know why this is fucking hilarious, it's because Crybaby Matthews just fucking went out last night and quite literally blamed his lack of goal scoring on the pucks the NHL were using. Him and Jason Spezza both whined about this.
It's a light vulcanized rubber.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they complained about this, and the NHL used the old style pucks tonight.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, because the NHL bends over to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and
Jason Spezza missed
a wide open net. So it ain't the pucks, bud. You're just trash.
Maybe he'll do better with the ones that have the lights in it. Like,
maybe we should get him some fucking, you know, those like bright orange practice pucks.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get him some of those.
Oh man,
would a fucking road hockey ball be better?
Yeah, or like the green little disc, the little pancake disc with the metal balls in it for street hockey. Anyway, Dixie Hockey Problems, a very southern hockey group that I follow, posted, Leafs fans, every time they lose a game and it's the Simpsons, like, entire town with the pitchforks and the fucking and the fires going, like, they're gonna go burn down the fucking city. Like, yeah, dude, people are just going ham on the Leafs right now. Another thing before we get off, if you guys haven't saw it, I just saw this while we were on. Marshawn Lynch was at the practice facility for the Avs, and he was skating around, and he's actually pretty fucking good at skating. And if there's any like a another thing that this guy can do, I can see him playing like beer league hockey, like men's hockey. So I think that dude is like a universal athlete at this point.
Fair enough.
Let's close it out.
Let's close it out because I got a hockey game to watch.
Absolutely.
Folks, and as we speak,
go ahead.
Leafs fans are getting attacked by the same Matt flash mob that has created a Mikko Koskinen meme.
Oh, jeez. All right.
So, updates next episode.
Last thing, folks, you guys aren't going to hear it until tomorrow, but I'm anticipating a big night from Tyler Toffoli, even if it's not like he's not on the board. It doesn't matter. He's going up against his former line mate and Pearson tonight. And I think this is going to be a great game for him. He's not going to – I'm not going to go deep into it because I'm trying to do an exit. Anyway, look for Tyler Toffoli to really stand out tonight, hopefully. Folks, this has been Habs Nightly. Please follow us at Habs Nightly on Twitter, Bayou Benders on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, please go like the poll for the best sweater in the NHL. We're going up against the Oilers right now, so let's give the Oilers another loss.
And we're giving it away, right? Fuck.
Yeah. So if the Habs make it and we finish them, because, I mean, we are the best jersey, we are the best sweater in the NHL. It's probably one of the best sweaters, period. But if the Habs end up winning, thanks to you guys, we will be giving away a Habs sweater to a lucky fan. So let's just keep this going, this win cycle going for us. Please like and subscribe. Go Habs. This has been Habs Nightly. You have a great night.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.